ones above me and turn them on over there.
We're not on television, I'd love to see the ones that I can read.
Aren't we on the?
Okay.
We're always on,
No, but I mean.
All this meeting to order, could I have roll call, please?
Rick Whitney.
Here.
Bill Goggins.
Here.
Laura Hine.
Here.
John Kapler.
Here.
Kathleen McMonagle. Betsy Pringle.
Here.
Elsie Weber.
Here.
That's it.
Okay. Our agenda tonight is a public hearing for the Plaza at Yarrow Bay, a joint hearing with the hearing examiner. And at this point, I think I will turn over the meeting to the hearing examiner.
Okay. Because this application is within the disapproval of the Houghton Community Council, we are meeting conducting a joint public hearing. Following the hearing, the community council will get together and deliberate and come up with their own recommendation. That recommendation will come to the community council as well as go to the council, the city council. Will come to the hearing examiner as well as go to the city council. The hearing examiner will make a decision within 8 days of receiving the community council's recommendation. And the hearing examiner will be making a recommendation then too to the council. So they will get both the recommendation of the community council and the recommendation of the hearing examiner. There's a sign-up sheet, but I see no members of the public present. Be sure you're in front of a microphone before you testify. And with that, I guess I will turn it over to Mr. Levitt.
All right. Okay. Keith Malam of Howell Real Estate Investments has applied for a zoning permit application to allow construction of a new 74,101 gross square foot office building located within the surface parking lot of the existing Plaza Yarrow Bay office development. Site parking for the project will be provided with a modified surface lot and a new underground parking garage. This proposal includes the following permits and modifications: a Process 2B zoning permit to allow an office expansion within the planned Area 3 zone, preliminary and final PUD, planned unit development permit to allow construction of an alternate city entryway design next to the street and to allow a reduced setback from Lake Washington Boulevard, a wetland buffer reduction of 33 feet by enhancing an existing Type 1 wetland buffer, which is located on subject property, a parking modification to reduce the total number of required stalls, and finally, a land use buffer modification to eliminate the requirement for a 6-foot-high fence. Here is a site plan for the project. As you can see, here's the proposed location of the building right here. This is the area of the wetland buffer enhancement work to occur. And also, additionally, there'll be a little enhancement work done by the applicant down here. And again, the underground parking garage and modified parking lot are around the building. So as far as the office use permit is concerned, the zoning code requires, again, that a office use get reviewed through a process 2B. Zoning code section 152.73 states that a 2B application may be approved only if it is consistent with all applicable development regulations and consistent with public health, safety, and welfare. Based on the analysis within my report, staff concludes that the project complies with the 2B zoning permit approval criteria. As far as the PUD request is concerned, the applicant is requesting, again, the final and preliminary PUD to allow construction of an alternate city entryway design next to the street and allow a reduced setback from Lake Washington. Kirkland Zoning Code 6028 requires that a city entryway design be provided on the subject property adjacent to Lake Washington Boulevard as follows: an earthen berm 12 feet wide with a uniform height of 3 feet at the center, lawn covering the berm, and London plane trees at least 2 inches in diameter planted 30 feet on center along the berm. In lieu of this requirement, the applicant is proposing full frontage improvements. In addition, they are proposing a entry plaza to be located in the southeast corner of the site. This plaza would include right-of-way improvements that include curb, 4.5-foot wide landscape strip, and a 5-foot wide sidewalk, And between the sidewalk and the parking areas, there would be a 10-foot landscape buffer that would be planted with additional row of trees and shrubs and bushes to kind of fill out the site. Additionally, the applicant would be proposing additional shrubs and other plantings within the actual planting strip within the right-of-way. Additionally, the applicant is proposing to reduce the required setback from Lake Washington Boulevard from 90 feet to 77.5 feet. General Regulation 7 in Zoning Code Section 6020 requires that a required yard of a structure abutting Lake Washington Boulevard must be increased 2 feet for each 1 foot the structure extends above the average building elevation. The proposed structure will be 60 feet above ABE, which would require a 90-foot setback from Lake Washington Boulevard. As you can see on this slide, you can see right here would be approximately the location of where a 25-foot high structure could be built on the site. And the applicant is proposing this structure at 60 feet, and the 60 feet is to this point. So a lot of the height is located on the back of the site. And this line, red line, represents the 90-foot setback they would typically require and that they are seeking relief from. As far as PUD approval criteria is concerned, staff has reviewed the proposal as outlined in Section 2F2 of the staff report and concluded the project complies with the applicable PUD criteria. Staff concludes the adverse impacts or undesirable effects of the project, a proposed PUD, have been minimized by a site design that lessens potential development-related impacts. To the extent that they remain, the adverse impacts and effects are outweighed by the PUD benefits, including off-site and on-site pedestrian amenities, additional landscape buffering, and additional wetland buffer enhancement work. As I mentioned previously, the applicant is also seeking a buffer modification. They submitted a plan that was reviewed by the city's environmental consultant, the Watershed Company. The Watershed Company reviewed this plan and concluded that it complies with the applicable requirements and approval criteria, and staff concurs with Watershed's conclusions and recommended approval. Additional code requirements that apply to this project. The project has been reviewed and meets the city's traffic concurrency and environmental review requirements. Staff received no comments during the initial public comment period or prior to this hearing. The applicant submitted a parking modification request to reduce the number of stalls from 247 to 125. The city's transportation engineer, after review of a thorough parking utilization study, is recommending approval of the parking modification based on an underutilization of existing on-site parking and the requirement for a transportation management program for this particular site. Additionally, the applicant is requesting that a 6-foot high fence not be required along the north and south sides of the property. The city of Kirkland owns this property, and the Parks Department has submitted a letter that it believes a fence is not necessary in this particular case. Additionally, the staff advisory report includes requirements for right-of-way tree retention, protective easements, site lighting, etc. And to conclude, as outlined in the staff advisory report, staff concludes that the proposal is consistent with the applicable development regulations and all applicable approval criteria, and staff is recommending approval of the 2B application subjects to the conditions outlined in my report.
Thank you. Are there any questions for Mr. Levitt?
I have a question on public notice. How was this public notified about this application?
It was the normal process where the residents within 300 feet of the property were notified, and then all, is it property owners?
Property owners within 300 and residents.
Yeah. Property owners within 300 and residents adjacent to the subject property. As you probably know, this area doesn't have a lot of residential surrounding it, yeah. So that probably leads to lack of public comment.
I have a couple questions.
Okay.
Let's see. Looking at the plates that were provided that show the placement of the building, if you look at, let's say, for example, plate 8 or 9, there are some mature trees right there on Lake Washington Boulevard. Will those trees be retained, or will they be coming down as part of the landscape?
The goal of the Public Works Department is to review this when it comes in for as part of the LSM. And our goal is to retain those trees as much as possible.
Okay.
Obviously, if the right-of-way improvements are going to impact those trees in any negative way, then they will likely have to come out.
Okay. Couple things, just questions I'm throwing out.
Okay.
I'm not sure if we're really seeing the final design of the building here. There was a sketch that sort of showed a side of it, but I don't think it was anything final. So I just have a couple questions on that.
Will the applicant be making a presentation?
Yeah, the applicant will be making a presentation.
So maybe we should hold off.
As long as his and his architect as well.
Well, okay, I guess I
okay.
can.
Okay, yeah, we
those.
Can.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is there any other questions for Sam?
Tony, maybe the applicants will have to answer this, but there are 3 ash trees and 3 sycamore trees that are a pretty good size. Do you know where they are on your, where they're located on the site plan someplace?
There was a survey included with the with the application packet. It's Do you have idea approximately where they're located?
Can you sort of, do you got something to point up there?
Yeah. So obviously here's Points Drive. Here's Lake Washington Boulevard.
Yeah.
Was there a particular location that you were, of the trees?
They're all down there?
No, I was, because you were asking, I thought you were asking about those trees, and I thought you knew about the location.
No.
Oh.
I was wondering where the ash trees, 3 ash trees were and the 3 sycamores, if they were going to be in a position to be saved, or...
Oh, okay. Let me see. I guess is there addressed in the arborist report?
And while you're looking there, I have one other question.
Okay.
The London plane trees?
Mm-hmm.
If they're not diseased or anything, and it's just a matter of they're breaking up the concrete, is it possible for the pathway to be worked around them in a different way so that the trees could be saved?
Yeah, I think the Public Works Department would be open. Rob's has mentioned that he's open to some meandering of that pathway within the right-of-way.
They are beautiful, and they take a lot of carbon dioxide out of the air in that area.
Yeah. Rob did mention, one issue is just due to their root systems causing damage with the utilities in the right-of-way. If, that may be something that as they explore this more placement of utilities, it may impact the location. But that's our ultimate goal, would be to retain any trees that we can on site.
Okay.
Quick question for Tony. The PUD benefit to the city is basically the pedestrian plaza. Is there any other significant benefit being provided?
There is the additional enhancement work that would be occurring down here in this area.
The wetlands?
There's a wetland buffer that's right here.
Right.
They would be enhancing with additional plantings. I believe it's on...
Isn't that being done to compensate for the reduction in the wetland setback?
No, that work is strictly up here to allow the placement of this parking lot. So that is the buffer being reduced. This is basically, as far as I understood, this is existing right here, and so they would be enhancing.
And that's where there are some ash trees.
Are there? Okay.
In that area.
Okay.
Thank you, John.
Okay, so anyway, that's the benefit that justifies the modification and the height restrictions, and then, or the setback, I guess. Yeah. And then the other question I had for you was the parking. Am I correct that your the total parking is going to be almost cut in half for this entire project, and yet we're adding office space?
Yeah, basically what they've determined is that there's a significant underutilization of the existing parking on site for the existing office spaces. And so based on that ratio that they on the existing buildings, then the Public Works Department, or they submitted a traffic study with that information showing that there is that underutilization, and there was a certain rate. I believe it was like one per, let me see real quick.
I guess I'd like to know what the ratios work out to.
Okay. Yeah, I can provide you that with a real.
If you want to get back to us on that before we're, you know, we
sure.
can move on with the
applicant. Yeah, we can move on, and I'll
I just like to check that against what the norms are.
Okay.
Find the sycamore trees for me.
Okay.
Okay, who's going to be speaking for the applicant? Mr. Malem?
My name is Keith Malem. I'm with Hal Real Estate Investments. The address is 2025 First Avenue, Suite 700, Seattle. I'm a longtime Kirkland resident, business owner. I've been involved in most of the, a lot of the development in downtown Kirkland, and original member of the, and continuing member of the Downtown Strategic Plan. And I've been involved with this project for quite a while now. I'm going to try to keep my comments really brief and then try to answer any questions you have, which I encourage.
Before you get started, I omitted this with Mr. Levitt. Would you raise your right hand? Do you swear or affirm that the testimony you will give in this proceeding will be the truth?
I do.
Go ahead.
I have a little handout that I'll pass around if that's okay. And just wanted to talk briefly about what I was thinking about when we thought about this project originally. One was, as you know, this is an old neighborhood plan. Really was the old business park zoning, and that's the way the project was originally designed and built. Since then, planning ideas have evolved. The plan necessarily hasn't yet, but we wanted to try and update the overall plan and create a campus that's more pedestrian-oriented. That is what corporate office and local office really would like. And so we're trying to enhance the project in the marketplace as a more current thinking project. It's obviously nearby the park and ride lot. For transit accessibility, has great bike access. It's a terrific pedestrian route. It's got plenty of adjacent services, restaurants, banking, and the hotel. one of the key design considerations was a safety one, because I walk this area a lot, and that is pulling the sidewalk away from the road edge. It's a very busy road, obviously, very uncomfortable to walk along there, in my opinion. And so one of the key things is we wanted to pull the sidewalk away from the road and put a landscape barrier between the sidewalk and the road. Obviously, it keeps the office expansion along the freeway and out of the neighborhoods, so it provides some growth opportunities for important businesses. And there's plenty of abundant and diverse housing nearby. The campus does very well. It's almost 100% occupied right now. We've got great tenants, including the UW, architectural firms, EED, which is Electronic Evidence Discovery, really high-quality employer companies. And we'd like to provide the opportunity for them to expand within the area. And we see this as an opportunity for a build-to-suit or to bring in another tenant that is attracted by the Microsoft and Google locations nearby. It's kind of at a crossroads. To the east, you got the Microsoft campus. To the west, across the bridge, you got Microsoft Seattle. To the north, you got Google. To the south, you got Gates. So it's kind of a nice crossroads, and we have found that that's very important for certain folks to be along that route. Obviously, we're coordinating with the 520 expansion. We do have the plans for the expansion. Will not have any impact on this property. However, the property across the street to the south used to be an old derelict warehouse that was recently torn down. That site is actually going to become a detention pond. And so that's the future plan for that area. So that used to be a development site in the city of Bellevue, and it's no longer a development site because it's going to be a detention pond. The original PUD back in approval back in 1990 was a very large site. As a result of the approval, they dedicated over 66 acres to the park, to the city, as a park. And so that's what you see there now. One thing I wanted to, I'm not sure how many of you were involved in this or have knowledge of it, but the Lindbergh Office Park PUD, which is across the street to the northeast. You know, I'm just going to, I didn't bring enough for everybody, but I have a copy. I'll pass it around as soon as I'm done here. Essentially, the Lindbergh Office Park is a small one-story office park that's been condominiumized now. And so it it's individual ownership of those buildings. Back in 2003, the Heinz Company was involved in permitting a new office campus that was almost 400,000 square feet.
Yeah, we remember.
We worked on it.
They hated
us. Okay, well, at least some of you know it. And at any rate, that 400,000 square feet, it was 70-foot high buildings, obviously fairly intense development. Because now the property has been condominiumized, it's almost unfathomable that will ever be developed again, because condominiumizing tends to withdraw any kind of land from the marketplace permanently, just because of the ownership, the way it's set up. Anyway, I wanted to make sure that you're aware of that, because all of that, essentially that development potential is gone forever. All of the CEPA approvals that were granted back then, they've now are no longer needed. And so there is essentially some reserve capacity in the system for a lot of different things. So I brought just a couple of copies, and I'll make sure that one I'll give this one to you in a minute because I got one more show and tell. Environmentally, even though the staff report says it's a wetland buffer reduction, which it is, it doesn't tell the full story. This yellow area is the area that currently is parking lot. And because it was built under the old codes, it was built much closer to the stream. Because we're going in for a new approval, we now get to meet the new standards, which is a very much larger buffer, much larger than the creek setback. And so this yellow area is the paving area that's going to be converted into wetland buffer. And so not only is it going to be enlarged significantly, it's going to be greatly enhanced because currently it slopes away from the creek and is asphalt, and that contributes to the storm drainage. Now it's going to be sloping. It'll be fully landscaped with wetland species, and it'll be flowing toward the water. And so it's enhancing the function of that area significantly. In addition, there is reduced stormwater runoff with this proposal because the building footprint now is essentially not going to be parking lot runoff and not contaminated, and it'll be clean as opposed to going across a parking surface. And the other large parking area below all of that, because it's in a structure, that's not allowed to drain into a storm drainage system. It was required to go into the sanitary sewer system because it's in a structure. And so that's another benefit. And overall, even with this development, we're reducing the amount of impervious surface. And I'll pass one of these around as well. I got Rich Wagner with Bayless Architects is here to talk about more of the details of the building. Bayless was the original architect for this project, and so they got a lot of experience with this. Hal has been a long-term owner of this project since I think the 1990s. So obviously we're committed to having this be a successful project. Appreciate your input and look forward to answering any questions. And there was one question about a public benefit. One of the other public benefits that I know that we're proposing is enhanced landscaping along Lake Washington Boulevard. So there are some plane trees that would come out as a result of this proposal, but primarily it's a result of moving the sidewalk over. That's really the driver on this. It's not something that we're trying to do. I'd love to save the trees too, but Public Works doesn't like those kinds of trees. We're going to enhance by putting double what is required, and our goal is to try and make this a better end result than currently exists. So I'm sure you'll have questions as we go, and I'd be happy to answer them later on. And I'll pass these around. You can take a look at them.
So are you asking that they reserve questions until later, or are you open for questions now?
I can answer questions.
Okay. We'll wait till you get back to the microphone. Mr. Levitt, before I leave tonight, can you make copies of these? Thanks.
And I'd be happy to answer questions now, or you can have Rich talk and then
I think we should
available.
Wait.
We're gonna take the whole picture. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Mr. Wagner?
Thank you.
Do you swear or affirm that the testimony you will give in this proceeding will be the truth?
I do.
Thank you. Go ahead.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Rich Wagner. I'm with Bayless Architects. We're at 10801 Main Street in downtown Bellevue, 98004. We've been involved in this project. In fact, I should even back up and say we've been involved in your community of Kirkland for over 37 years. And I think over all these years, it's been a wonderful relationship. We've enjoyed working with you, and I think that it's a great town. It's certainly one that we've all admired. And I say that from a distance as a resident of the city of Renton. First of all, I want to thank Tony for the staff report. I think he covered all of the issues quite well. When you get a packet on your desk that's 3/4 inch thick, double-sided, there's a lot of reading in there, but I think he did a real good job, and I hope you're able to actually enjoy his work. I want to make a few highlights. This is a picture of the existing building. If you haven't had a chance to drive by lately, this actually was taken earlier at the very beginning of spring. And I put it up here so that you can get a good reminder of what the scale is that we're talking about that's existing and where we want to work. One of the first questions that we wrestled with Keith on, and knowing that the question was going to come up here, is why another building? When we go to the site plan, what we found was when there is this area in the middle that's all parking lot now, and no underground parking, it's all surface parking. Under GMA's best practices, we know that if we can densify a site with existing utilities, existing roads, existing transportation corridors, it's a far better thing. Quite honestly, I think anytime we can bring more employers to the city of Kirkland and not let them keep driving out 520, city of Kirkland's a winner for that. The other thing that we find is, because of this site, it is all a surface parking lot. What we're proposing is a new building on top of one layer of underground parking. And I'll come back and talk about parking in a minute. And I think, as staff mentioned, out of all this, we are actually lowering our pervious space. We're going to end up with a much more drainable site than what we even have existing. The next question was, well, why the building here in the middle? We really felt that the original design, where there is a plaza now, kind of embraces this area, and it creates an interesting opportunity for another building. I think we also wanted to bring the building up to the street more here. I know in good planning, there's always a question about do you put the building from here all the way back, or do you bring it up to the street? How do you make this pedestrian connection strong and get it as quickly as possible to a building and not marching through the parking lot? So we wanted to emphasize the corner plaza here. Let's see, where'd my mouse go? Excuse me. This corner plaza here was something we really wanted to emphasize. If I can pick that up.
Can I ask a question right now on that, since we're here?
Oh, sure.
Just wondering why you didn't pull the building even closer and put the parking behind it so that the parking's not in front like that.
That's great, because that's my very next point.
Okay.
This is one of the things we really worked with. There's an entrance here to a garage. And this entrance and this entrance serve the entire garage now. And we want those entrances to remain. We needed a way to get here. And so we had the choice of running traffic from this garage out through this plaza or running it around the building. We also knew that we wanted to go over the allowable 25 feet. So we had to move the building back. And it created a situation where, well, if we're going to move the building back 50 feet, you might as well move it back a little bit and put that land to use. That was our thinking. Primarily, I think it was, how do we get this traffic into here, and how do we preserve this for a new plaza that can be embraced by the entire campus? I'd like to talk a little bit about, a little bit about the height and the sections that we're working with. Tony had this exhibit up earlier, which shows the angle up here and the heights of the buildings. I think you can see that from the sidewalk out here, we're pretty close to being in conformance with what was thought of when this code was adopted as a view triangle. But we are trying to get the building as far close as we can. We looked at, quite honestly, at pushing it back 90 feet, and kind of relevant to the other question that we just answered was that's just another 15 feet that really isn't particularly usable on that end of the building. By moving the building back, we also end up pinching this area here, which we really think is an opportunity for the campus, the Common Plaza. The existing building is allowed to be 25 feet, and the PUD also allows us to go 60 feet with approval. One of the questions I'd like to talk a little bit about is what would happen to this site? Excuse me. This is our landscape plan. I've been pressing my brain there to find out where the ash and the sycamore are, and I don't remember. If I went out looking, I would look here first, and I think one of your members also testified that there's some over here. So I can't answer that question tonight. I wished I could.
I could help you real quick on that, Rich.
Oh, okay.
If everybody looks in your packet at the back to 11 by 17 pages that are black and blue, that indicates on this plan that along the entire perimeter are the existing ash trees, and they're labeled as remaining. And then on your architectural plans, on the very page 60 in the packet, those same trees are labeled as coming out, but those are the plans that are labeled on your drawings.
Okay.
And just to add to that, the arborist report, which is on page 181 of your packet, goes into details on those trees and recommendations to incorporate in the design to try to save those trees.
So maybe if you could chat about that a little bit too, because I know we'd all probably have questions on it.
Well, the key in terms, I know that Hal, and I certainly know that the design team wants to save as many of those trees as possible. I believe it was in this area here. Was this where some of them were? One of the things we've been struggling with here is, and if you've walked this street, even in midday on a Saturday, there are still cars posted 35 going 50. In fact, some are starting to accelerate to enter the freeway here. This is not a friendly space at all. Because the trees are actually inside of the sidewalk, in order to move the sidewalk over, that's where some of them become a little more at jeopardy. I do know that this edge right here then becomes the edge of the underground parking. So what we haven't really looked at in the detail yet is just how many of those trees can we specifically save. And then it gets complicated by, yes, they're beautiful, but they're not really the right tree in today's wisdom for what's going there or for what should be there, the sycamore or the London Plain in particular. So working with our landscape architect, we've come up with this staggered pattern so that as they grow in, your view in will be substantially returned, we hope, to what is now there. However, it does allow us this planter edge to put in some shrubberies that might be, you know, 2.5 feet high. When we met with some of the community out there, they said, oh, not too high. I don't want to feel like I'm hiding behind the cars. So we're keen on that. And then putting in the sidewalk in here, and then some of the minor buffering back into here. And if I go to this section, which I think is coming up next, you can see that a little more, a little better. Certainly in the landscape plan, you see it here, where this is the hedgerow and the trees are staggering. And you'll notice the trees, we're looking at are different types of trees too, so we get some different textures and colors. The plaza, I think, does a pretty nice job on capturing the, you know, when you're coming down the street this way, this is really what you see and is where we have our project sign now. We will continue to sign here, But because we have a building corner right here, we really wanted to get the connection with the pedestrian here rather than further north on Lake Washington Boulevard.
So, can I ask a question? So this entryway here, Plaza Entry, is going to be right on the corner of Lake Washington and Hunts Point, right? It's going to be right in the curve?
That's correct. That's also why we've made the dimensions of these sidewalks so gracious. There's a dimension called out here. There's probably 25 feet from the curb to this, what you might say is the first point of arrival.
Is that sidewalk going to be, how far up from the street level?
Well, the curb is about 6 inches, and then it slopes up this way. I think maybe 2 feet from here to here.
Yeah, I was just wondering if those 50-mile-an-hour cars you're talking about come around the corner there, they're going to come right up on the curb. Oh, never mind. Thank you.
One of the things we are looking at is these are concrete planters in here. But the people that are turning here are really slowing down now because they know they're entering a different area. It's the people that are going past and heading onto the freeway that are really picking up speed. The other thing I wanted to highlight back on, what would be allowed without the PUD, this shows what we're proposing here as a four-story building. And this outline here shows an equal square footage of what would be allowed at the 25 feet height and the 20-foot setback. And we thought this would be a helpful graphic, and I have plenty to pass out, to show, maybe it's just me as an architect and a planner, but this proposal seems to me a much stronger proposal than this large block here. The strength of it is found not only in the open space that gets created on this pedestrian area here, but also here, because the length of the building as you walk by it is substantially reduced.
Well, yeah, I agree with you. It's reduced, but it's replaced by cars, right? By parking lot.
In our proposal, yes, yes.
How would you handle parking with the bigger building?
Pardon me?
How would you handle parking with the bigger footprint, with the 25-foot height?
We would have to expand probably. Well, the parking, this parking here goes away. So we'd probably be in asking for another adjustment of standards. And I'm going to talk about the parking adjustment that we are requesting. But I think maybe I misunderstood the question. If you're saying, well, where would this parking go?
My question is, when you make the bigger footprint building, when you lower the building height to the profile you show there,
right?
Do you have a parking plan that goes with that?
The parking, the building would be one story over one level of parking.
Okay.
I'm sorry, I did misunderstand your question then. Yeah.
Thanks.
As an example here, this wall under the current zoning can go all the way to here, which is that line of mitigation. We then took a look at this in section. We hope this would be helpful. This is the building as it's now proposed, the graphic that Mr. Levitt had. And if we went with the two-story here in the front, parking again on the side, held to the 25-foot height and the 20-foot setback, this is the profile that you get for the whole building. And the point that we wanted to make here is this view triangle here is relatively unchanged as you're walking along the sidewalk here. And we thought that would be a pretty important point to at least graphically portray. I'd like to talk a little bit about parking, because I know that's one of the questions here. The overall, our parking, this is back to the existing, to give you a sense of the scale that's out there now. Buildings are 60 feet high. On our parking, we're proposing a reduction of only 6% for the campus. This site, I think, has much greater transit service at the curb and much greater transit service regionally than it certainly did when the original plan was approved. Overall, our 75% of our parking is underground. quite honestly, we'd like to put more of it underground, but there's a very, very high water table in this area, and we know that we need to respect that. In the end, though, in our calculations, we're providing a total of 1,066 parking stalls, and that gives us a ratio of 1 per 323 square feet. Some of the architectural images, I put this one up there. You were correct in the question that there really isn't anything in here about architecture. I can, the intent of this hearing, as we understood it, was to talk about, is this even a use that is rational here? Yes, we think it is. I think the staff report supports it. And the next step would be then to look at what the architecture would look like. I can tell you that in our many conversations with our client, the scale is going to be similar to these existing buildings. The materials would also be similar, including the concrete, masonry, the non-glare glass. And the mechanical equipment would all be screened. Haven't decided yet if it'll be a slope screen or a straight screen.
Have you considered putting the mechanical equipment underground or down so that it's not on the top?
We didn't on this project primarily because the parking ratio we felt we were already pushing. We have looked at that before, and it becomes economically difficult. So that's why we usually put it on the top. It also becomes much easier to maintain. The other thing that we know, it won't look exactly like this. But, excuse me, was that a sufficient question
or
answer?
Well, you know, you're asking to go beyond our allowable height, and so, you know, that's just one of the benefits that we often like to ask when people want to go higher, is if they can get that HVAC down off the roof. Mm-hmm. It makes a prettier building. You're building right there at the gateway of Kirkland's. You know, and I'm sure it'll be beautiful. But you know, there's also like the parking right there in the front. So I'm just wondering if you've considered these things to kind of not only give your plaza and your working people some beautiful place, but also to make sure that the residents of Kirkland have a beautiful place to drive by.
Mm-hmm.
So that. You know, we're not just driving by, you know, you see this big parking lot in front and then the building's back there or something. So that's just what I'm asking, if you've considered those options.
Along that line, I'm wondering if you considered using green roofing to partially screen the mechanical and also enhance the absorption of rainwater and all that other stuff.
We have talked about that. We really haven't gotten that far in our design work. Our office is familiar with that and has used a lot of it.
I thought about that too.
In fact, that leads me to my next point. As we blend these existing design elements and materials together, the other thing that we've already seen is the technologies of exterior building skins has changed a lot in the last 10 years. This building will be LEED certified, and so many of the systems that you see here, as elegant as we think they are, they would no longer assist us in achieving that sustainable design goal. So we'll be blending the character here with some new technologies, and we hope when we get a chance to talk to you about the architectural look that you also think that we were successful.
Did you say that this is not what the building would look like?
No, this is the existing building, but I wanted to put it up for reference. This is one of the four existing buildings.
Oh. I drove through there today. I didn't see it. That's all right.
Rich, if I could ask you, please, for illustrative purposes, if you could go back to the site plan and point to where this is taken and the direction into the niche of that entry. And then my understanding of your drawings is correctly, we're within a foot or two of the exact same height on the proposed height limit as the building that we're looking at.
The building you were looking at was this building here, mm-hmm. Photographed from approximately here, looking that way.
Yeah.
And I am I correct in understanding that we're within a foot or two with the proposed building height of the building in the photograph that you just referenced?
Yes.
And that's represented on the building sections labeled page 52 in our packet. On the extreme left-hand side, it says existing building 2, 5 stories. You'll see we're within a couple of feet.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. Thank you.
One of the questions also came up about posting. I should note that beyond the posting that we did, we also took it upon ourselves to meet with the Central Houghton Neighborhood Association. That meeting was on April 1st. We met with the Lakeview Neighborhood Association on March 23rd, and we met with the Planning Commission on March 26th. So I think we've reached out. I can't help but note that even after those meetings and those reachings out, staff received no comment while this was being prepared, or there were no parties of record. I can't really say if staff got unofficial comment. Tonight, I think, is evidence of that we're heading in the right direction. I'm going to stop there.
I have a question. Because I drove around in there today, and I know I saw that building, but your picture doesn't show that it's brick. Isn't it brick?
Oh, no, it does. It does show brick.
Yeah, yeah. It shows brick.
Yeah, let me.
It's brick and concrete. It's a combination.
Yeah, that's what I saw. But the one picture you're showing up here that's like this doesn't.
Yeah, go to the next one down if you would, Rich, yeah. Please. The next photograph.
Number 2.
Yeah,
that's one.
Closer up.
Oh, I guess. Okay, it's just the lighting on it, because that's the way it looked to me today. So.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
And I know that a couple of your questions, Keith was penciling some answers to as we went.
Can you go back to the landscape plan?
I do have another question. You did some beautiful view studies, and I thank you for that. But I want to know why you were using 30 feet and then 60 feet. What you're wanting is 60 feet, right? Yep. Was the 30 foot just to be what you could get without a PUD? Is that what you were trying to show us?
We were trying to show the comparison there.
Actually, just to clarify, the 30 feet is the allowed height within the zone, and then there's provision in this particular zone. If you go above 25 feet, then you've got to increase the setback. So that's kind of
explained. Well, I just wanted to make sure I understood this.
So, okay, then that might answer my question, because what is the minimum setback with a 60-foot building? Is that the minimum setback from the street?
Minimum setback for a 60-foot building would be 90 feet.
90 feet.
And so that's what they're asking, a reduction in from 90 feet to 77.5.
But that's from the buffer. I'm talking about from the street.
That's from the street.
No, it's from the street.
Using okay.
The wetland buffer modification, that's 67 feet that they're reducing that from 100 feet to 67.
Okay. So now I see why there's all that parking in front because of the setback.
Yeah.
Okay, I get it.
I hope you can also see then the comparison of, yes, we could do that all in landscaping, but that means we're forcing all the traffic to that other garage around through the plaza.
Yeah.
And we just didn't feel like that was the right compromise.
Well, as long as you do a beautiful job screening off those cars so that.
Oh, yeah. In fact, this is the landscape plan that Keith wanted to address.
Okay.
If I may, in the interest of answering your questions, there's a couple things I remembered. See these trees here?
Mm-hmm.
And then there's 1, 2, 3 here. Those are the ones being retained.
Yeah.
And that's what the arborist report commented on. They did not require any retention along Lake Washington Boulevard because we want to come up with a new concept on that based on a lot of the factors that we've talked about. There was a question about, let me go to the site plan. This was one of the really important design features that we thought the market really would want to see, and that was essentially creating an internal pedestrian street. and that is this connection here. This is a, it's hard to tell from this, but it's about 50 feet wide, connecting these two buildings, and it's all meant to be plaza and active pedestrian space. And we think it's really important there because it's away from the traffic. It is connecting entrance to the building here, entrance to the building here, entrance to the building here. We really want to activate that space pedestrian-wise, and we couldn't do that if we pulled the building out toward the street.
And so is the corner there, is that not the main entrance to the building, or is that the main entrance to the building on Hunts Point and Lake Washington Boulevard? Is that the main entrance?
The entrance to the new building is right where this is, the cursor is.
So this
is a colonnade that you walk down along the face of the building to get to the main entrance here.
I see.
And we want the entrances to be, I mean, the concept was to try and get the entrances together to activate the space. We felt that if we had an entrance on the end of the building, it really wouldn't, you can still get in the building that way. There's an entrance right here, but we didn't feel it was contributing to try and get an entrance down here, because then it's, you're orienting the entry to something that is not pleasant in our view.
Well, yeah, I guess my thinking is that, you know, this is the gateway to our city, and I sort of hate to see the building turn its back on the city and put the back parking lot right there at the gateway of our city. So I was thinking that this plaza here was the gateway into your building, but it's the back of the building.
What we tried to do is make a very strong pedestrian connection down the side of the building here.
I think once we see
the
actual
colonnades,
plans, it'll be easier to to see that.
The other question was on the parking reduction, I think we answered that. We're still at 1 per 320-something. I've managed many office buildings in this town for years and years, and that's always been very generous, and has been tested many times, so should work very, very adequately. Also, the comment was made about why don't you take the mechanical equipment off the roof, and there's a pretty important reason why we didn't want to do that, and I've actually done that on buildings where you take the mechanical and you bring them down to the ground level. It's very noisy. It's ugly. It can throw off vapor. It's just not a pleasant thing to introduce into a pedestrian environment.
But it is going to be on the end of the building towards the plaza, not on the end of the building towards the street, right?
It's intended to be right above here.
Okay.
And so it's already set way...
Not very visible.
I don't know how you can see it, frankly.
Yeah.
Even up the hill, it's it's very hard to see the ones on the existing buildings.
Yeah. I mean, on these plans, you see it.
Theoretically possible.
I mean, you see it here.
Anyway, I was trying to answer your question, so if be happy to answer any others.
You're saying that you're not through with the building design yet, right?
That's correct. In fact, I might even go beyond.
Are you considering maybe making it look, even though it's not the front of the building, make the side that faces out towards the traffic area have the windows and everything in it to make
it
look like it's not just a blank wall? Or
no, it will have glazings around the whole building.
Okay.
No, it won't look like the back of the building. This is our front door as well. So we're going to be very keen to make that very inviting.
I know it's really easy for us to look at the little rendering sketch where there's the brown massing study.
Yeah, we know that's not it.
If we look on page 50 and 51 of the packet, it has not a section view, but an elevation view.
Mm-hmm.
That shows a little bit of the articulation and the modulation. You can get an idea where the brick is, where the concrete frames are, and the colonnade.
Yeah, I looked at it. I just wanted to be reassured.
Talking about. So I think that that's probably a little bit more indication.
I can assure you, Ms. Weber, under oath as I am, those sketches is that's the most developed thinking we've done so far on this project in terms of what it looks like. Our efforts have all been what are the impacts beyond the visual.
Well, if you do as well as the project is currently without that new building going in, it will be beautiful.
Yeah. I think you're absolutely right. And we will.
Drove around there and walked around and everything. Mm-hmm. That's nice.
Nice. Thank you.
And I'd like to just, what I'm looking at and seeing is commendable on the level, too, that you've provided a solar accessible courtyard with the way that the buildings have been placed and access mm-hmm. to the buildings for some solar influx in the wintertime, especially when it's at a premium around here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I think that's I don't know if you were intending to do that. You haven't mentioned it. But
I think it's a great use of a parking lot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely, we intended that. Keith was talking about this colonnade here, and that's kind of the one of the features that we have really introduced and maybe developed in our own thinking. But the width here is about 20 feet, and the colonnade, we think, you know, if you look at the building up here, you remember that these columns, the concrete columns, are a really strong element that we want to mimic. And so we thought we'd run the colonnade from this edge all the way under the building to here, so that you can be in the sun if it's out, or you can be undercover.
Mm-hmm.
So these are the kind of balances. We've really kind of looked at it more as a pedestrian than we have as an architect. Mm-hmm.
I have just a couple of quick comments, actually, for both of you. I think, Rich, your office has done a fantastic job on putting together a very nice packet, so congratulations on that. It was thorough, well thought out, easy to understand. The graphics are really, really nice. You did a very good job on
Thank
that.
Thank you. Every good client gets a good package.
Yeah, well, that's nice. Keith, I think your thoughts were great, so I appreciate that. And Tony, you did a marvelous job in putting everything together. This was really easy to understand.
Very easy to understand. Mm-hmm.
So thank you, everybody, for doing this. This was, I think, an A-plus in presentation and package for us, getting something cold without any interaction and understanding it. So thank you all. There has been a little bit of discussion about this term gateway to the city. We've discussed this on another project, this terminology. And in concept, while as an architect I'm understanding and agreeing with everything that has been presented here, I would implore you to look very carefully at the eastern edge of the building, even though it is across a parking lot, and the massing and modulation of how that greets the passers-by. What I'm seeing on the southwest face of the building where the colonnade is, I think the thought process is wonderful, but we really don't want to have a building turn its back. I know it's across the parking lot and it is the back of the building, but please take a look at that. If there's some stepping, or if, you know, something fun on that face of the building mm-hmm. that is very, very important to our conversations as diverse as they are in terms of a gateway, that is something that we all have chatted about at nauseam. And so please keep that in mind, that this is the first thing that people see coming down the hill into Bellevue. You'll see your colonnade as you come across the bridge, but along the street, please keep that in mind. Mm-hmm. Please keep that in mind.
Thank you. I think that was very well said. Thank you.
Yeah.
If I can just add to... Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Looking at the view studies, you know, you just see this big block, and, you know, bulk and mass has always been one of the concerns when we look at big projects. And, you know, I would echo the comments John just made about modulation and trying to make a signature kind of a something looks appealing rather than just the back of a building.
I'm thinking along those lines, if that colonnade effect were continued around that east side, it would give the building more of a mm-hmm. unified look, and also provide some shelter for people coming from the parking lot, also say in the morning sun and or rain, the same effect as going around the other side. And transitioning from that, if I can, to the landscape piece, What you're doing with the buffer looks really good. I just had one little concern about the kinnikinick that you've planned to put in, because it's mentioned as being under the shade of the shrubbery, and it's also on the north side of the building, which was going to put it in the shade. And I know from personal experience myself, trying to grow kinnikinick in any kind of shade at all, it does not do well. And if you're working with shade, you might want to think about something such as salal or something that's more shade tolerant than kinnikinick. The kinnikinick likes a sunnier exposure. So there was an extensive amount of that, and it's a wonderful ground cover, but it might not work in that particular location.
Thank you.
I'd like to make a suggestion, which you might not agree with. I'm a little uncomfortable with that curbing right around the center here. Nobody's going to be driving in there. That's just a pedestrian right walkway, right?
That's correct. Yeah, there's no auto entrance there
right.
at all.
Is there any possibility of huge stone planters or concrete planters, maybe 3 feet apart or something along the top of the curb there?
Yes.
Just in case somebody decides to go too fast around the corner or...
Well, those things can often kind of enhance a pedestrian sense of security.
Well, yeah, and I think it would make me feel better to know that the people that are walking along there don't feel like they're right on the street.
Mm-hmm.
That's just a suggestion.
Yeah. Well, we have the concrete planters now, and maybe we can study bringing some of the planter out and around. But the idea of stone, I'm trying to think if we've ever... We've used a few stones before, and I really love them, especially if the contractor found them on site. Now they're really indigenous, you know, and it's great.
Not too likely down there, but you know.
Any further questions for Mr. Wagner?
No, again, we applaud you for this presentation. Mm-hmm. And it's a great use of a parking lot, and appreciate
Thank
it.
You. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anything further? Oh, Mr. Malin?
I'm going to make a plug for... Oh, I need the site plan. Sorry. Oh. No, I'll just use this. If you haven't already, Poppin' Jays is right here. They're one of our local treasures, and we're real pleased to have them there. And you'll see that if you haven't been there recently, I mean, this is what we started with, what we had, which was to add, you know, a patio out here, seating, umbrellas, a barbecue. I mean, that's what we're going to try and extend all the way through here. And we do have to keep a fire lane access open through here, but we do envision putting some planters, obviously, and activating that quite a bit. And down here, we can also use bollards at the, and I'm certainly across there to close that off. I think that's a good thought. And also the landscaping. Those were given to us by the wetland landscaper. I'll mention these, and we can perhaps substitute other material for that. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Is there anything further from the staff? Mr. Levitt, even though I forgot to swear you in, I will assume that everything you said was the truth.
It was.
Thank you. And with that, then I'll close the hearing.
Thank you.
Thank all of you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. It was really a good presentation.